The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led forth in peace. The mountain and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, they were scorched. Since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises, on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9 and 18 to 23, the gospel lesson I just read. The sermon title is, When Anyone Hears the Word. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, for the last 40 years or so, the Protestant churches in America have been obsessed with trying to figure out how churches grow. and why the gospel is accepted in one place and rejected in another. Scholars and consultants have turned to the social sciences and to the business world to understand populations, demographics, leadership, group psychology, and marketing. Pastors and congregational leaders have attended seminars filled with the results of this research, with the hope of making their church the biggest and the best in their community. Well, despite all this 40 years of scientific and market-led research, the total membership in American Protestant churches continues to decline. Now, science would say it should be growing because they're following the science, but it's been declining. People have changed churches, but churches have not changed people. It seems that the science of church growth does not work as it was predicted it would. Even the most famous expert on church growth, Pastor Bill Hybels of Willow Creek Community Church in the Chicago suburbs, admitted that the size of his church came at the expense of the spiritual maturity of its members. So, using a plant analogy, Willow Creek Church is all leaves and branches with little or no fruit, and that's by the admission of its senior pastor. Now, the problem with the modern experts in church growth is not that they're trying to understand things, it's that they fail to consult with the Lord of the church. If they'd understood Jesus' parable of the sower in this gospel, they might not have been so confident in their predictions and prescriptions. If they listened to Jesus, they might realize that the growth of the Word of God in human hearts is more complex than they realized. Well, here, according to Jesus, is how that really works. In verse 19, Jesus sets forth the basic situation. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom. You have to understand that sentence so the rest of it doesn't make any sense. This is what the parable of the sower is all about. The word of God is preached or taught, and someone hears the word. That's what the whole thing is about. If you're not preaching the word, none of this makes any sense at all. So you got to preach the word, teach the word. People have to hear it. And that's the word of God, not my ideas. This does not describe the growth of a voluntary organization that might happen to be religious. It does not describe what might happen at a Buddhist or Chinese temple. It has nothing to do with Saturday socials, youth group happenings, churchmen clubs, or church public relations. It's only about the word and the sacraments when they are heard and received by individuals. So if you get that, the rest of it makes sense. So the word and sacraments have to be delivered. The four scenarios of the seed then explain these questions. What happens to that word of God? Where does it go? Whom does it affect? How long does it take to have some effect? And why does it affect some people and not others? Jesus explains that the seed in the parable is the word of God that is heard. The path with the birds is when somebody, quote, does not understand the word, and the devil comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. Verse 19. The rocky ground is, Jesus explains, quote, someone who immediately receives the word with joy and endures for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Verses 20 to 21. The ground with thorns or weeds is when, again, quote, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Verse 22. Finally, the good soil is when somebody, quote, understands the word and bears fruit. Verse 23. Now, the fruit is both faith and a Christian life, although only the fruit of faith will save you. Now, we can see from this that when there is no fruit at all, either the church or the individual is to blame. Sometimes they're both. First, the church is responsible for preaching the Word of God purely and correctly. If the church preaches something other than the words of Jesus in the New Testament, well, then there is no seed being planted at all. It's like a gardener goes out and he keeps looking at it and says, "Why isn't that growing?" And he keeps coming back day by day, month by month. And then he finds out 3 months later, "Oh, the package of seeds is over here. I never planted the seeds in the first place." If you don't plant the seeds, if you don't preach and teach the Word of God as it's found in the Bible, nothing's going to happen on this level. Second, the church is responsible for making the gospel understandable. And it does this by teaching Bible stories to children, because that's what they can understand, and basic Christian doctrine to youth, as our churches do in catechism class and Sunday school class when the kids get older. People who have not had some religious education in childhood cannot be expected to understand the preaching they hear in their adult life, certainly not all of it. Finally, the church has the responsibility to put preaching into communities where people can hear the word. And this is the work of missions. Missions are a national effort when churches plant new congregations where there are none in their own country or in their own region. And you, years ago, called Pastor Balgeman to start a congregation in Half Moon Bay. Well, it didn't work out, but you tried. That's missions. In the homeland, we call domestic missions. Missions are also an international effort when churches plant new congregations in other countries. And through, right now, our Missouri Synod has about 100 missionaries overseas in Asia, mostly in Asia and Africa, a few others in South America, and a few in Europe and those places. When you give your donations to missions, that's where the mission dollars go. It's helping to plant the seed in those countries in places where the Word of God is not heard. So that's the church. Now, the individual also has responsibility for many things. First, the individual must be willing to be present where the preaching of the gospel is taking place. Those folks who always refuse to attend church have, by that very simple action, cut themselves off from the Word of God and thereby the source of eternal salvation. Now, they may pray to God at home, but unless the prayer has been informed by the Word, the prayer is useless, because they don't know how to pray or to whom to pray. Second, the individual not only has to be present, he or she must also listen. It doesn't do much good to attend church if you fall asleep during the service. The seed is planted and grows when people hear and they understand what is said in the Word, not just because they're there. Third, the individual must make some effort to make that word their own. That is, to try to understand the word and how it applies to their own life. You see, me as a preacher, I can only make one or two applications in a sermon. I cannot make every application to every individual in the congregation. Application of the word to your life is your responsibility. And if you don't do that, you really haven't understood the word. And if you don't understand the word, the devil will come and snatch the word from your heart. Fourth, and this is not the great part of it, but it happens, the individual must endure tribulations, trials, or persecution that come because of the word of God. This is what I talked about 2 weeks ago in the sermon on taking up the holy cross. And it doesn't mean that your life is always full of such trials, but if you try to live according to the word of God, you will find that it does happen at some times, and it's in this parable. Fifth, the individual must resist letting the cares of the world crowd out the word of God. It's easy to get too busy with everything going on to care about your relationship with God. It's easy to let the world's priorities become your own, with the result that God's priorities for you are squeezed out. That's the thorns and the weeds. Finally, the individual must resist the deceitfulness of riches. Whether you are young or old, rich or poor, or in the middle class, the love of money always stands in the way of the love of God. You just must resist this and say no. And if you don't, your life as a Christian may prove unfruitful. Now, you think about it. With all the obstacles and things that can go wrong, it's amazing that anybody is saved. It's amazing that the seed grows up at all. And when you notice that some people have stopped attending church and stopped nourishing their faith, don't be surprised at that. It happens all the time. Even, as I can say, even to the wisest and most mature believer. Think of the wisest man that ever lived. Do you know who that was? King Solomon. He was deceived by the riches and cares of this world, even though the Bible says he was the wisest man. So don't think it can't happen to you. Remember the parable of the sower, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember that the word of God that you heard or that you read, hopefully you read the Bible sometimes on your own, could be the seed on the path, which is gone because the birds ate it. Could be cut short by stones or choked out by weeds. May it not be so for you. May you always pray, Lord, have mercy upon us, so that you may join the saints who persevered in the word of God with the fruit of faith to their blessed end. In Jesus' name, amen.